By the way, you had some big long words in this thesis.
Yeah, it's definitely a brain exercise. Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all. N-E-R-D
up. N-E-R-D up. It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Tim Coker.
And yes, Tim and I are the only ones. Let's see here. First of all, I guess Eric is on his way to becoming a full cyborg. He's got the some of the contraption removed from his leg, and I'm guessing the mechanical parts are be implanted. I don't know how that works. Tim, do you know anything more about that?
You know, I don't actually. I was quizzing him about it via Facebook earlier today, but I haven't gotten all the details. Just to fill our guest in, you know, and people who might not be up to date, Eric started a fight with a pickup truck, I believe. And I don't know how the pickup truck came out, but Eric needed a lot of stuff done to his ankle, so he just got the cast off today.
Yeah, he got the cast off, and that's one thing I was wondering is if he's going to wear a boot or what's going to go on. Yeah, actually, I've gotten to a fight. I think it's more like a jousting match from the way his car looked.
Yeah, I would say so. Oh my God.
So yeah, this was back just before Christmas, and he says he'll never be able to walk the same again, but I didn't like the way he walked anyway. So. And Tim Mattson, don't know where he is. I never got word back on what he was doing. But Isaac, he wants to hang out with his girlfriend. I don't know what the deal is with that kid. They'd rather play video games than come in here and do this, talk nerdy things. So, in the meantime, let's introduce our guest. We have with us now Jennifer, is it Valentine?
Valentine.
I knew I was going to get that wrong no matter which way I said it. So anyway, we got with us Jennifer Valentine. She has earned her master's degree from Northern Illinois University she wrote the thesis that totally grabbed my attention. We met at Indie PopCon back in 2015. Eric and I, as a matter of fact, attended that one together. And she was doing surveys and talking about the masculine and feminine superheroes. And so we completed the survey, and I said, you know, I would love to have this on the podcast. I would love to be able to talk about this because Eric, Tim, and Tim. Yeah, we have two Tims on this. Anyway, we've always discussed this about how female heroes are not adequately represented and all this other fun stuff. And we've put out the debate out there. And I thought this would fit perfect. Well, Jennifer finally got done with her thesis and everything, forwarded it to me, and wow, it's a read. So it's very in-depth. And so, Jennifer, first of all, we want to talk about you first, find out more about you. Why or what are you you got your master's degree in cultural anthropology. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what led you to that? I mean, before that, you have two bachelor's degrees. Talk about those.
Yeah. So I just took classes on sociology and anthropology, and I liked both, and they kind of complemented each other. So I ended up just getting two bachelor's. And then I took a year off, and then I decided to go back and get my master's, and I had to decide what I wanted to, you know, major in. I wanted to get a master in anthropology or sociology, and I kind of just drifted towards anthropology and decided to get it in cultural anthropology because I like culture and I like learning about cultures, and mm-hmm. That's what attracted me to cultural anthropology.
And plus, with the cultural anthropology, you don't have to dig in those tombs or anything, so that's the cool part. The thesis, the title of your thesis here is The Gendered Superhero, an examination of masculinities and femininities in modern age DC and Marvel comic books. Now, that's a mouthful, but you grabbed me by saying DC and Marvel comic books. That's all you had to do is mention comic books and you grabbed my attention. Explain that. What were you exploring in this? What were you hoping to find out?
My main research question was, how do American superhero comic books, and I was looking at just those published by Marvel and DC Comics, how do they represent American concepts of gender? And I wanted to look at, how do readers interpret the gender, and then how do the artists depict it? Like, if there's any intentions behind depicting, like, a masculine male or a feminine female.
Before we go any further, your thesis is available to certain people right now. Can you explain that, who can have access to this thesis?
Yeah, so if you have access to online journal articles, specifically just ProQuest, it's a database for digital dissertations as well as master theses. So if you have access to the journal article, you can get it through there. Or you can also just email me, and I can just send you a copy of that.
Like I said, it's a read. A lot of big words. But, you know, actually anybody that reads comics knows that comic books actually have big words in them, too. So I shouldn't be scared of that.
It's true.
And the thing is, I read through, I think I got about halfway through. And a lot of numbers and statistics. So what was the process in determining this? What was your process in creating this?
For the statistical aspect, I use a program called SPSS, and it's used in sociology as well as statistics, and sometimes in cultural anthropology as well. But my methodology, I use a multi-method approach. And so I did the surveys as well as interviews at conventions. But the numbers come in when I do my content and my text analysis of my comic books.
At the cons that you attended, you're doing research and you're talking to the artists and the creators of the comic books?
I talked to the artists. I was only able to interview 5 of them, which I know wasn't a lot, but you know, they're very busy and there's a lot of time constraints at conventions.
Right.
And even one of them wasn't a mainstream. One of them was just a non-mainstream artist. But yeah, I did it at the conventions.
I was wondering, I was like, you know, I pay to go visit the comic, you know, all the cons and visit the artists. And I get to, you know, go up there and meet them and all that fun stuff. And you actually had to work when you met these guys.
Yeah, wow. I definitely saw a different side of the convention because I mean, I've gone to convention for at least 10 plus years, and 2015, like when I did my research, it was all just standing behind a booth all day.
Oh, man. Well,
I wasn't there, actually. So you actually had a booth set up, and you were interviewing people and asking them, please come take my questionnaire. Is that how this happened?
I had a booth for both Indie Pop Con and CounterCon, and the people just approached. I actually met with people outside of the surveys just because it was very loud. So we would either go to a quieter place in a hallway, or we would just do it after the convention. But at the third convention, I actually didn't have a booth, and I was just located outside of like the exhibit hall. And I was just standing around with like clipboards asking people to help.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I think that was the Indie PopCon that we met you at, wasn't it? You were standing outside. And
Indie PopCon actually had a booth.
Okay.
It was in the like main hall area where the people took the stage.
Right, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it was like, oh, she looks like she needs help, and I guess I'll answer this. Besides, she's talking about comics.
Right.
Now,
and you got a free pen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, you're right. I did. I forgot about that. I wonder if I still have that. Now, okay, so through this process, what was it you were wanting to determine? What was it what was your main goal in this?
For the surveys, I wanted to see how do readers see the gender. And for the interviews, I wanted to see with the artists, specifically, I wanted to see how they depict them and why do they depict males in a certain way and females. Those are the surveys and the interviews. For the content and text analysis, I was looking to see how the images were gendered, and then if the text was gendered as well.
If you've ever listened to any of the past episodes, one of the things, and so here's the first time I get to mention this, but I always talk about comic book boobs. And basically, I honestly have never been able to, I don't know, I don't like comic book boobs. The artists always say, wait a minute, that's a bit too much. But then again, I don't look at it, but you look at like Thor and Hulk, and okay, they're exaggerated too. So what is it you found out? What happened? What is it about the gender? I think you said you called used a term called visionary gender. What was this about?
Yeah, so visionary gender is the gender that I coined and I termed. So it was an alternative form of gender that male and female superheroes can display. And for them to be displaying this, they had to be illustrated displaying toughness, competitiveness, some type of emotional and or physical strength. They had to have a fit or trained body. They had to have body agency or sexual agency and or independence. Regardless of the character's gender, like I said before, male or females could be displayed with visionary gender. But more often than not, females displayed this kind of gender. And what was interesting is that visionary gender, it wasn't devalued in comic books. So you didn't have a character commenting on their gender as being like too sexy or too strong. And that's what visionary gender was.
Okay. So the outcome is that, are all superheroes of this visionary gender?
Actually, for male characters, the most common kind of gender that they displayed was hegemonic masculinity. So for those of you who, I know you probably don't know anything about that, it's just the like dominant or most ideal form of American masculinity. So for our culture, we kind of turn hegemonic masculinity as something that's ideal. It's typically upper middle class, white, and they have like a toughness and a competitiveness. So think like think Batman or Thor. Those would be like hegemonic in their masculinity. So that was the most common masculinity, but visionary followed second.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you. If it weren't for reading the series of books, the Ender's Game books, I would have never known what hegemonic meant.
See?
So it pays to read those books. But yeah, when I got to the hegemonic, I'm like, hey, oh yeah, hegemon. I know what that, okay, cool. And it's like, I felt smarter after reading your thesis when I got to that part. What about female side? What's the emphasis on females here that you came out with?
They also displayed visionary gender the most. Mm-hmm. Out of both male and females, they had the most visionary gender. For hypersexuality, it was females from DC comic books that were the most hypersexualized. Really? So like Harley Quinn and Wonder Woman, really? They were the most hypersexualized. Yeah.
Huh.
So when you say hypersexualized, are you talking about their expression of like their libidos, or are you talking about the depiction of their bodies?
Yeah, it's definitely the depiction of their bodies. So like large chest, very sexy poses, kind of like come hither looks, kind of things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like in the first Avengers poster, one of the things everybody, all the guys are all facing forwards, looking tough, and Black Widow, she's
Black
back
Widow
with her
better butt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
it's the backbreaker.
Yes,
right. Was it the Hawkeye project or whatever? You remember that?
No.
Did you hear about that, Gil?
No.
Where they had they would take like male superheroes and draw them in the same kind of poses that you would see, like ridiculous, you know, like I don't know. There was one with the New 52 covers where Wonder Woman like has her lasso going between her legs and stuff, you know. It just kind of the whole pervy,
right,
kind of vibe. And so they did this thing where they were drawing like all the superheroes, the male ones, wearing like midriff bearing clothes, and you know, it's really funny. So look, I think it's called Hawkeye Project. You should look it up. It's pretty right on the money.
Yeah, I remember that when that poster came out, it's like all these guys are facing me. It's that Black Widow, she's showing her butt. So that's the hypersexualized. That's basically what that is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So you said DC Comics was more guilty of that, huh?
Yeah, especially of their female characters.
Huh. And I've got to think. I mean, and the example I think of is Black Widow, mainly because I'm reading that book on Black Widow. Which, by the way, let me bring that up now on the podcast because you might want to look into this. I just picked this up, but it's Marvel's Black Widow, From Spy to Superhero. By Sherry Ginn. It's edited by her, and it's essays on an Avenger with a very specific skill set. Now, basically, you think, whoa, it's just like a really cool thing about Black Widow, but what it is they explore how she's hypersexualized, and how but she doesn't need to be, and she deserves her own movie. So it's a really good book on this. I have to say that I'm further along in that book than I am in your thesis. It's very interesting in which this is getting ready to come out, I believe, in April. And when this comes out, I'd like to hear your response on that, because, like I said, they kind of explore the same avenues you went through, and you did hard and heavy research. But it's really interesting. I think a lot more people are becoming aware. I mean, sure, we've all. I mean, as little boys, when I was younger. That's one thing I loved was, I saw the girls in the books, and that's the way they were drawn, is like, oh my gosh, these women were like, they're not real life. This is not, oh, they're beautiful. And they're like, their proportions are like, it's a wonder they can stand up, and it's weird.
Sure.
And then you get let down in the real life saying, no, they don't have that, 82 inch chest like they do in the comics. So,
sure.
But at the same time, now that I'm grown up, and these guys heard me say it over and over, I don't like comic book boobs. It really, to me, it distracts. Now, in your thesis here, what's your outcome? Do you think that is it a good thing or a bad thing about hypersexualized and or the visionary gender? Is it a good or a bad thing, or is it just there?
I think it's just going to be part of the comic book standard in that sense. I think it's always going to be there, because even if you don't hypersexualize the female characters, the male characters are still hypersexualized, which, I mean, I think the female superheroes have came a long way from when you examine, like, the Golden Age or the Silver Age of comic books. Like, they were kind of like the damsels in distress, the kind of, like, side characters.
Right.
So I think they've taken more of an active, more role in comic books. But what I found interesting is that some people mentioned that male characters were seen as too masculine, and that they actually wanted to see male characters with more body types. And if I think about it, you have Batman, Superman, Thor, you have those three characters, and they all kind of have this, like, square body, and right. they haven't really changed the male characters as often.
Right. Then you get, like, a Peter Parker, who's, of course, a teenage boy, but there are times when I've seen him drawn, and that still they still maintain that square feature, but it's like, hey, wait, that's a teenage boy. He's supposed to be kind of gangly.
The interesting thing is, you know, when Spider-Man's created, you know, he's basically, you know, Ditko is drawing him as a spindly kind of teenage boy, and once Ditko gets off the book, he immediately is drawn pretty much just like Johnny Storm or any of them. It's interesting how even that early attempt gets streamlined into the more kind of standard, you know, heteronormative figure than what you normally get once the one distinct artist is off the book, you know. But I actually hear that. I think that as limited as the types of female bodies are in comics, male bodies are really just as restricted unless you're like a comic relief character.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The guy wanted to be Spider-Man's sidekick. He was a lumpy guy.
I want Doctor Doom?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I want to say he called himself the Frog. It wasn't the Toad, because that's an X-Men guy. I can't think of his name now. But yeah, it was like, you can't be a superhero. Look at you. And they show him like it sitting there, big old chunky guy eating ice cream. And it's like, wow, why can't he? That was me. Why couldn't I be that hero? So now, how do you think, Jennifer, this affects, children growing up? And I mean, because they're the biggest readers of comic books. How do you think this body image affects them?
I had asked this question a few times to some people, and they didn't think that it really, truly affected them. And I don't know if I can actually say that it does. I think that some people might see it as something that's possibly attainable, but it's just, I mean, it really is just an ideal that people look up to and that they never might achieve. But I don't think that doesn't mean that people shouldn't try to be maybe more healthy or something. I mean,
Sure. Well, you know, I did try to climb more walls as a kid, and that kind of built some muscles. But yeah.
You know, when somebody goes in with such a specialized question, and obviously it needs to be for what your goal is, but were there any really big surprises for you when you were there any sort of preconceptions you had going in that you found to not be true, or was it all pretty much sized up the way you expected it to be?
It was, I think for the content analysis, it was kind of expected, but no one's ever done a text analysis. And through the text analysis, I found out that language use in comic books is gendered. So the female superheroes will be more cooperative in their language, and they will offer suggestions, or they'll kind of have like a role of a mediator. Whereas the male characters will tend to be like argumentative or conflict causing in their language, and they also use directives more. So I found that interesting because I wasn't expecting it, because it's never been done before. I also found in my text analysis, I thought that male characters were going to interrupt female characters more often, because when you interrupt somebody when they're speaking, it's a sign of like power and control over the conversation. And it actually turned out that female superheroes interrupted more often male characters, as well as even other female characters.
Now that's really interesting. I would not have seen that coming.
Yeah. So
why do you think that is?
I think it was one way, just because it's one way for them to express their visionary gender, but also because, well, in comic books as well as in the world, women can cross gender boundaries more often than men can. for example, like, this is a really simple example, but I mean, if you think about it, women can wear jeans now, and that's not a problem. And jeans were something that was for men, but like, right. You don't really see men wearing dresses. So you don't see that opposite.
Right.
Yeah. Gender flip for that.
Well, I will say that I was at a Dokken concert last Saturday night, a Dokken and Great White concert, and the security guard was wearing a kilt. So, you know, hey.
Kilts don't count.
Okay, kilts don't count, fine. But I was like, what? And he's a security guard, and I'm like, and the big old guy, and I'm like, well, nobody's going to tell him otherwise.
Oh, did you tell him it looked like a dress?
Nope, he was big.
He was hegemonic.
Yeah, very much so, yes. Thank you. Well, now, what do you plan on doing? I mean, now you've got your thesis, you've got your master's degree. What is your plans in life? I mean, you're going to go through and read more comics, attend more conventions, I'm sure, but what are you going to do with this master's degree now?
Find a job.
Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it?
I mean, I would like to do more research, but to do research, you should probably, like, be a instructor or a professor someplace, just because it makes the whole process of getting, like, IRB approval a little bit easier.
Right,
yeah. If you want to continue research, something like, I do have that set on the horizons. I don't know if I would get my PhD, because that's just a lot of work, and I don't know if I'm just quite ready for that yet.
And not to mention a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, I would like to keep researching this topic, because, I mean, the master thesis, my research, it found interesting things, but I just want to keep finding more things, and maybe perhaps, like, to see if this can be seen possibly in, like, Golden Age comic books, and maybe Silver Age or Bronze Age comic books.
Well, you know,
it would be really interesting to see how that evolved, you know, like, what kind of contours did it take? That's actually a really interesting question.
Well, one of the reasons I brought up that Black Widow book is, like, there is a suggestion for you, I guess. Well, maybe not a suggestion, but an idea is, like, hey, become a published author. Start writing books on this, because it definitely, like I said, once I got past all the research process and actually got into the actual thesis and even got to the pictures, too, because you included pictures
wow.
in here, that's when I was like, oh, hey, this is cool. So, you know, start writing some books that you can continue doing research and maybe, like I said, find an author, a publisher that'll say, hey, this would be great. I mean, yeah, it's a dream if you could get that kind of a job doing what you really want to do. But if you do, speaking of pictures, I happen to turn, and I'm going to get the page of your thesis, page 119. You have a picture of one of my favorite characters in Spider-Man, Silk, one of the newest characters they introduced. And I got to ask you, to me, whenever they first introduced Silk, she wasn't quite the drawn like the over sexy hero. She was like, I don't know, she was like just a normal woman, at least what I pictured, or at least what I saw. And then eventually, of course, there's this attraction between her and Spider-Man that was overwhelmingly sexual. That character there, did that stand out for you at all?
Yes, but what also stood out for me was that she is a woman of color, you know, so she is Asian, and I saw that as something positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that. I do agree with you. I mean, like, she is a young adult, you know, it's like she's just starting in the job force.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, just, I feel like when you hypersexualize a character, and she's probably only, I don't know, maybe 20s, early 20s. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but comic books have comic looks. That's what I've been told.
There you go. Yeah.
Sir.
I like that. I might have to use that.
Yeah, seriously.
I'll stop using comic book boobs and start saying that comic books have comic looks. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I really found it interesting, and I was interested even before I got to read your thesis whenever you're doing the research. So I'm hoping you do carry on and do a lot more of this stuff, because really, this is the kind of information I like to know about. I mean, yeah, I like to read my comics, but I'm a brainiac at times, and I like to read in more in-depth about stuff, like, you know, like why they are how they are. So, yeah, there you go. Become a writer. You got my backing. Not that it does any good.
Make any money, but...
Right. Sure, you'd be that best-selling author. Maybe get an Oprah's book club or something. I don't know.
I feel like, do you have... I appreciate definitely your scholarly distance from the question, but do you have skin in the game yourself? Do you have a way that you would like to see comics evolve? A way that do you have kind of an ideal version of what you would like to see, or do you genuinely enjoy all the different tropes that are currently on display? Like, do you have something you'd like to see phased out or less of, and something that's a little more to your taste?
I think I would like to see a little bit more diversity with male characters, specifically, just different kind of body types. But I would also like to see more LGBTQ characters, maybe those who identify as like transsexual. I think that would be something like very interesting. But I think also to do that, they need to have like a writer or an editor that understands those issues that those people face. So it's not necessarily like just making a token character something. And like many people who commented on the surveys, I would like to see female costumes that are practical and functional.
Yes.
I know it's possible. Gil, you were talking about comic boobs. I don't understand why they have, breastplate when their stomach is open.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the one thing...
Because buttons are hot.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it, if they don't have a breastplate, they've got, something severely low cut. It's like, in the midst of battle, something's going to fall out. You don't want to worry about that. So
yeah. Especially because, female superheroes are kind of seen as... less strong. I mean, there's just that perception, even though that may not be true. So you would think that they would be more better protected, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, really. Yeah. If they're going to represent them that way, they should be. Yeah, you're right. Never thought of that. Well, that's one of the things that I like that they've done with the Black Widow character in the Avengers movies as the progression, starting with the first, the second Iron Man movie, I think is when she first made an appearance. But the progression of her, she's actually come from just a side character, and then she actually became like, okay, here's the token female, and then now in the latest ones is like she's the one keeping the guys together. She's the one. She's like the common sense out of the group, and I'm liking the way they're progressing with her character. I'm hoping, and that's the way comics should do. Is everybody, the times are changing. People are starting to realize, hey, women don't stay in the kitchen. Women actually, I'm the one that stays in the kitchen in my house. It's like my wife's going to do all the work. I'm going to clean dishes. Well, so it's I would like to see more of a progression like that in comics. Now, in Spider-Man, there were some times where Spider-Man or Peter Parker, when he was married to Mary Jane, she was the breadwinner. And I thought, well, there's a bold move for comic books because they actually represented the woman as the breadwinner. And he was he got to be hero right. on occasion. I'd like to see it more like, though, where the female hero is the one in charge of the. And, like, put Black Widow in charge of the Avengers.
Right.
50 That's Shades of Black Widow.
I could see that.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's like when they made Storm the leader of the X-Men,
Right.
And I think that was even after she was depowered, Yeah, yeah. But I agree with you, Gil. I think that the normal... Well, it's one of the nice things about how comics audience and kind of public awareness has shifted and grown over the last 10 or 15 years is that, I grew up, I'm a child of the 80s. And, so for me, the comic store still had that very kind of locker room vibe to it, Comics were very kind of a boys thing. And interestingly, a lot of women I know who were girls when I knew them, when we were in college or high school or whatever, we're reconnected on Facebook, and I'm finding out, wait, I didn't know you liked comics, because I think it just wasn't talked about then. And I really loved how, now that there's kind of a broader cultural moment, now that more women are either getting interested in it or more comfortable with admitting that they're interested in it, I like the extra diversity and the extra approaches that you're getting and the pressure that's on, too. I think that some of the stuff that's really overtly exploitative, for me, it's kind of embarrassing, Like they did a couple of years ago, there was a big contretemps about a Spider-Woman book they were launching. That was, and then they have, Milo Manara do that cover. And Milo Manara, it's a pretty amazing artist, but for a Spider-Woman book that's supposed to be targeting female readers, it's not really a great call, there's a group of people that really push back on that, and they're like, well, why are you trying to wreck our fun? And it's like, I'm not really trying to wreck your fun. It's just trying to wreck your fun. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I find it really exciting. Like, I love that the world of it has gotten so much bigger and more inclusive since when I was a kid. And,
right.
You know, it's even to the point where, you know, women like you can do your master's work on this topic because it's progressed that far. I just think it's great. So I'm really, I don't know. It's a topic I get excited about.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely agree with you, Tim. Especially because I think, you know, you mentioned like, you know, female coming out and saying, oh, I like comic books as well. And I think it's just also now that there's like female editors and female writers and female artists that are like headlining big name, like, comic books that, you know, I think are creating more diversity and just have different art styles as well.
Yeah.
Well, I got to ask you, Jennifer, what are your favorite comics? What are your pulls at your comic store?
See, I do like Thor, especially the Lady Thor version. I don't want to give any spoilers alert, you know, because I don't know who's watched or I don't know who's read it. So I won't say who is Lady Thor, but I do like that version. I do also like Silk.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know if it's out yet. That's how I'm terrible sometimes. I don't know if it's out yet, but I am looking forward to Ironheart. So it's going to be like the woman who's taken over for Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And isn't it a woman of color that's taking over for Iron Man?
Yes. I think her name is Riri Williams. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an African-American woman.
Yeah. So that again, you know, progress in multiple directions. So. See, that's another issue altogether. I mean, we could talk about, you know, feminism and masculinism and all this stuff in comic books, but there's also the whole aspect of, I wouldn't say racism, that would get a different connotation, but the fact that, you know, different races need to be better represented.
No kidding.
You know, and I think Green Lantern did that when they launched the 52. I don't know, I haven't read it since they took away the 52, but they had a Middle Eastern guy be one of the Green Lanterns. I'm like, wow, there's a bold move right there in this day and age, and I'm glad they did it.
No fooling.
You know, so it was really nice. But yeah, the progress needs to be made, and it's very interesting to hear your favorites. Now, I got to ask you. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you your age because, first of all, I don't want anybody to know my age either. So, but as a kid, what were your favorite comics growing up? Because what you mentioned, those are fairly new. What was your favorites growing up?
Oh, you know, I will say that my first comic book I ever purchased was not a superhero comic book. It was published by Archie Comics.
Ah,
and
yay.
It was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Nice.
Which may seem strange, but I grew up playing Nintendo NES and Sega Genesis, so right there dates me. But
yes, like,
it does. I was just attracted to, I guess, that comic book. And I was also really big on anime and manga being Japanese comic books.
Right.
And then I kind of just drifted towards graphic novels like The Sandman by Neil Gaiman. And then
those were such a gateway drug for a lot of girls, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
They really were. I knew at the time a lot of young women, because I was in my early 20s when that came out. But yeah, that was the comic where they said, oh, so this is what comics are like now. You know, it was kind of the officially branded as the one that girls will like, you know, but I think it's an outstanding book.
I mean, I'm definitely probably more big on Marvel. I mean, not that I don't like DC, it's just that, you know, I think Marvel has just more characters like X-Men, Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of just attracted to those kind of characters and their storylines. I mean, DC, I mean, I do like Harley Quinn to a certain extent. But I don't really like the Joker, so no.
Well,
like,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Joker's really in everything.
Exactly.
Well,
not even for the relationship. Like, I can't. No, I can't.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking my language, because I've always pretty much been a make mine Marvel type of person. But there are times when, you know, I'll branch out and like, okay, I'll read a little bit of DC. And I actually be entertained by it, but, you know, it's reluctant. Marvel all the way. I think there's been a few, like, Swamp Thing. Well, recently, Preacher, but only because of the TV show came out. All right. Well, good to know. It's kind of interesting. Like I said, you're going to write a thesis on this. You better have some favorite comics, and you pick some winners. All right, I'm with you. Isaac would have really appreciated it because he's a big anime manga, and he used to love Sonic the Hedgehog. So I'm going to brag and say, ha, you missed a good one, Isaac. So, and by the way, Isaac's my son, and he's the one that I think he was at the PopCon with us, too. But he's the one, he was dressed as Vegeta with me when we did that. But anyway.
Was he the one who I said was a girl because he had long hair and he said, no, I'm a guy. And I'm like, oh, see, look it. There goes my gender, assumption.
Exactly. Now, the whole thing, the nice thing about that, at that Vegeta look, at the early in the morning, that hair was standing up. By the end of that con, when we saw you, it fell. So. But yeah, that was him. But yeah, he normally is on here, but again, he wants to hang out with his girlfriend. So, Jennifer, okay, so if anybody wants to read your thesis, find out more about it. Like I said, it's a very interesting read. I mean, yeah, if you read statistics, you get past that part and then you get the fun part. But it's good to know your methodology and it's good to know how you came to your conclusion and all that good stuff. And that's what a thesis is about. So you got to talk about why you did it, how you did it. And then you talk about what you did. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you and or read your thesis, how can they do that?
The best way would be through my email. So it's the letter J and then the last name. So it's V as in Victor, OLINTINE, and that's at gmail.com.
J Valentine or Valentine, I knew it, at gmail.com. Now, again, how can they get it on ProQuest? How's that process work?
Yeah, so if they have access to an academic journal, specifically the ProQuest journal, I would just assume that they would go through and sign in, and then you just look it up either by my name or by the college, which would be NIU. The most easiest way, though, is to just type in the title of my thesis, and that's very long, so maybe just type in, the gendered superhero, and it should pop up.
Yeah, it's a great... I love the title, because it really, What? Gendered Superhero, An Examination of Masculinities and Femininities in Modern Age DC and Marvel Comic Books. So your next thesis is going to be on Golden Age, and then you're going to go to Silver Age, right?
You're going to write more. Bronze Age.
Yeah. Right. So I can't wait to see more from you. So Jennifer, thanks for coming on and sharing all this information. I mean, I've had a great time. We've always discussed, gender... we're a bunch of guys that get to talk about, how we don't think that genders are represented equally in comic books. Finally, we get a female to come on here and say, you guys are all right. You're on the right track. So,
and I have the data and the numbers to prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, it's not faked.
Yeah, we're just guessing. You actually did the work. Thanks a lot for joining us. And continued success. And anything further you do, keep us informed.
I definitely will. It's been a lot of fun talking about my research.
Yeah, I kind of figured it would be because, first of all, it's comic books. Who doesn't have fun talking about comic books? If they don't have fun talking about comic books, they don't, they're no friends of mine. Something like that. So, again, thank you very much. And, Tim, anything further you wish to carry on, express before we close out the show?
I wish that there was an Agent Carter Season 3.
I know, right? Oh, man. But hey,
that's all.
Well, hey, we're going to be getting the Defenders on Netflix sometime soon. So
that's true.
We'll have some more Jessica Jones. So, all right. Well, as we say every single time, don't forget, support the podcast in any way you can. You can always donate, buy our T-shirts. Let's see here. What else you can do? You can shop Amazon. All you got to do is go to nerduppodcast.com. Click on the various links. You can get your subscription to Loot Crate or Geek Fuel. And we get a little kickback when you do that. And all you got to do, like I said, go to nerduppodcast.com. But first and foremost, I tell you, those T-shirts are awesome. Artwork designed by our very own and awesome Tim Coker. And beautiful. Yeah. You look cool. Let me tell you, you get one of these T-shirts and, you wear this to your next Comic-Con and people are going to come up, wow, where did you get that? That's cool. And you'll say, I listen to the Nerd Up Podcast. Right, Tim?
Well, it's absolutely true. We have the data to back it up.
Exactly. Somewhere. And buy the T-shirt. That's what I recommend most because you look good when you wear it, and we get a little kickback from that as well. So in the meantime, join us next time. We're going to be talking with Todd Black. I've already got the next show ready to go. We're going to talk to Todd Black. He's going to launch issue number 5 of his Home comic, which is the final comic in the series. And he's going to be talking about that next time we get together. In the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson. Don't forget, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Tim Coker, and you can follow the adventures of my dogs, Lenny and Hazel, on Instagram at Oak Bark.
And that's it for the podcast. Like we say each and every week, stay
nerdy.
Stay nerdy.
Check out the number one sports podcast in Washington, Indiana. It's The Crossover. It is Tuesday night. Here we go, Brian.
I'm not going to give the NFL MVP to Matt Ryan. I'm just not going to do it.
Just give the guy, you know, a smack on the wrist. Say, hey, man, just focus on this for six more days. Dude, don't wear the jersey.
My goodness.
You need to figure out if you're going to be an NFL quarterback or if you're going to go teach JV football somewhere.
We're a local show with a national perspective.
So in Miami, the thieves were spotted wearing, they were actually wearing a Bethel Pilots
Bro.
Home jersey.
Rejoice! Rejoice, all Red Sox fans!
You know, don't count them out yet, okay?
So, and I don't think that that's a valid argument.
You can find our show at TrueDirtBag.com or to subscribe to our podcast, email us at BretHart77@gmail.com.